Good morning and welcome to the program. Hi. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Someone's already trying to call, so let's go ahead and grab that call, and then we'll go on to all the other good stuff. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. You told me last week I was the last caller. You told me to call back and you'd finish up on how to get rid of my gallstones.
Okay. Did you have an ultrasound done where they actually measured the number and the size?
He just sent me a letter and with the blood work, and down at the bottom it said that it had showed gallstones. He didn't give any size or anything. I'll find out all that out next time I see him, which might be 6 months from now.
Or it might be 60 years from now, right?
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, but the letter did not say that there was a large stone the size of a softball, and he said there's no way it's going to pass, and I'm worried about it becoming lodged in the bile duct.
No, I think he would have notified me that, okay, that with a phone call, probably.
Well, do you happen to have a blender there at the house?
Yeah, I got two of them. And I'm already drinking, like you told me last week, blending up beets and lemon juice, and I put some garlic in there also.
Well, what have you noticed thus far, as far as bowel movements?
I do that. I do that every once in a while anyway, so I really haven't noticed.
Well, let me talk this or walk it backwards just for a second. If you had a blender and you took just one beet, obviously you wash the dirt off of it and toss it in the blender, and then if you add about 8 to maybe 10 ounces of unfiltered apple juice, and you may have heard me say before that there is an enzyme in apple juice called pectinase, and pectinase has this uncanny ability, I think it's God-given, to help dissolve congealed, hardened bile, and that's what gallstones are made out of. And so if you have unfiltered apple juice, one beet, the juice of one lemon, which, you know what my favorite sales pitch on a lemon is? It's like the greatest solvent of all time.
Yeah, well, I've been juicing two lemons in with the beet.
Oh, my word, you are the most gung-ho man on earth.
Not quite.
And then if you take, well, I think you are, if you take one tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil and add to that and blend it up, and every morning that you get up, you drink that, it's going to cause your gallbladder to start to contract more efficiently. But between the apple juice and the lemon juice, you're going to start dissolving and breaking down those stones. And so what's ideal is if those can be passed just very quietly and very easily.
Okay.
You know what I'm telling you is considered medically impossible, don't you?
No.
Well, if you ask the doctor, just ask him next time you go, 60 years from now, or 6 months, say, is there any way that these stones can just pass quietly? He'll probably say yes, but your body has this great ability to eject, push out, get rid of anything that doesn't belong. Could you imagine if you had a splinter in the bottom of your foot and it was hurting you, and you just couldn't dig it out? What would you think if the very next day your body was just able to rise to the occasion and just push it out? Those things happen. The body pushes out anything it doesn't want that's toxic. Now, if you go back to the 1920s, the type of a doctor called an osteopath, what they would do is when somebody would, you know, donate their body to science for the purpose of cadaver research or, you know, training medical school students. That was the way I was trained. First day of school, you have a cadaver, and it's a human dissection lab, which I did not enjoy that, but I had to do it. But when they would take a gallbladder that was full of stones, they would just cut the gallstones in half, in which I'm thinking of a book that I have on the shelf in my office that just shows all these gallstones, and they're sawn in half with a bandsaw. But the point I'm getting to is, one of the reasons why gallstones form is because this is your body's best attempt at trying to contain some type of an infection. So they actually serve a purpose, but we want that infection to leave your body, or the toxins to leave your body. So what you're doing is really, really good. The next thing, if I had my choice, I would say there's two groups of muscles in your body. The stronger these are, the better your gallbladder works. There's a muscle group called a hip flexor. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah, probably.
Well, it's the only muscle that actually connects the upper torso of your body to the lower half of your body. Sometimes you can have a person just stand on one foot and see if they can raise the opposite leg as high as possible, like you're flexing the knee. You know, like you're marching high in place.
Uh-huh.
Other times you can just have a person take like a 35-pound kettlebell, hook their foot underneath it, and see if they can raise it up easily. I think it's very hard if you don't have the strength. But usually the better the tone of the hip flexors, the better the gallbladder works. And then your leg and your knees. So do you have strong legs?
They are pretty strong.
Good. I think if you continue doing these things and you... my personal favorites when it comes to, besides what I've told you already, I really think the gallbladder functions very, very well when you bake a sweet potato in the oven and you melt butter on it and you eat it, or if you eat avocados. Those are two really good foods to help improve the gallbladder.
I probably average an avocado a day.
I think that most of the studies that I've read from a long time ago, they show that if you have gallstones, it's usually easily 7 to 8 years just to be able to make one and see one on an imaging test. So for all I know, these gallstones are from your youth.
That could be.
I don't have any way of knowing, but that's a guess. If you'll be faithful and you'll continue, and the reason I asked you about what are your bowel movements like, if you tell me that your bowel movements increase in size, they're better formed, I would say that you're on the right track. But you're not constipated, are you?
Oh no, I have. I just detest constipation, so I try to keep myself loose, not diuretic.
Right. No, I understand.
But just loose.
Well, if it's smooth and well formed and it passes easily, that's usually when there's not inflammation in the gut. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to small pebbles and, you know, straining, that's constipation. So you're on the right track. And I think if you just give this enough time, now if you wanted to be a super-duper detective for gallstones, then you just got to start looking in the toilet bowl every time after you go to the bathroom and see what comes out.
Well, I do have big bowel movements. And I can tell you, loose, so I'm not going to be looking.
No, I wouldn't even worry about either. I would just tell you to have confidence that this formulation is going to help dissolve and rid the body of gallstones. And if they pass very quietly, I mean, there's no harm to you at all. You don't even know it. And that's actually very, very ideal. This is not like somebody that has a horrible, horrible gallbladder attack and they go to the ER over and over again and just suffering pain. I've seen plenty of those cases, too. And so you're not in horrible pain, are you?
No.
I bet you anything, all these stones are going to just dissolve and roll right out of you pretty easily.
I hope so. It was 2.5 years between ultrasounds, so 2.5 years from now, I'll see what it says.
Well, I bet you're on the right track. if I had to choose one type of a food that I think probably causes the gallstones to form. Actually, let me start over here.
Don't say Mexican food.
Didn't I just tell you about avocados? No.
I eat a lot of them.
Good. You're a good man. I think the number one food's probably going to be soft drinks and sugar.
Yeah, I hardly ever consume a soft drink anymore, and I have cut way, way back on the sugar.
Well, you are a good man. How old are you?
72.
Oh, I want to be just like you when I'm 72.
No, you don't. Well, maybe you do. I don't know.
Well, I mean, can I just hand pick and choose the qualities of you that I like?
Well, you know, it's been my experience in life that my life was one train wreck after another until I started listening to God and giving him control, and then it's been kind of smooth sailing. Most people wouldn't like what I do, but I wouldn't Well, I wouldn't give it up for nothing.
You are one good man to yield to our heavenly God and Father. Have you ever read the book of Lamentations?
I have.
Well, in chapter 3, it says, be quiet and wait on the Lord. I think you can get a whole lesson out of that phrase, can't you?
Well, there's challenges for us humans on almost every page of the Bible.
You are right. But if you're willing to believe and accept those challenges and take them on, that means you're being faithful and you're being obedient and you're humbling yourself before God. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one more personal question?
Sure.
Do you still work?
Well, I was retired before I came to Texas, but I don't work for wages, but I do quite a bit of what most people would call work, yeah.
Well, that's impressive. I want you to keep working and taking care of yourself for the rest of your days.
Well, I plan on it. Now, this is something, you'll remember, I called you a few years ago when I had Pseudomonas.
As in Pseudomonas aeruginosa?
Yeah, in my blood after I had my left knee replaced. And
people get their entire leg amputated over stuff like that.
Well, they die, too.
Yes, right before they have their legs amputated, correct.
But anyway, during that time, God shone a different light on that passage in the Bible where it tells us to be good stewards with the things that God has given us. And what's He give us first but our bodies and our minds?
Amen.
And those are probably the two things that we are the worst stewards with.
Sometimes we take better care of our cars and animals than we take care of the very vehicle that allows us to go and do and work.
Yes, yeah, we sure do. So
I
anyway,
agree with you. But you see things differently now, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm charging. I go to the fitness center 3 to 4 times a week, and
where do you live?
Lindale.
So you go to a local fitness center?
Mother Francis.
Perfect. Do you like it?
I wish it was cheaper.
That was my next question. You beat me to the punch.
But you know what? Give up a couple meals, eating out a month, and you've got it covered.
There you go. Even if it's your beloved Mexican food, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really proud of you. You're taking steps to take care of yourself. You're a good guy.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't want anybody to be proud of me because God wasn't even proud of Jesus. He was just well pleased with me.
Well, how am I going to top that statement? Thank you very much for your phone call, and I'm glad you called.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to read this to you this morning from this program is Health Essentials, in case you don't know what it is. I want to read this to you from a gentleman by the name of Kent Keith, Ph.D. He wrote back in the 1960s a book for student leaders at Harvard University, and they found these 10 phrases on a wall at Mother Teresa's Children's Home in Calcutta, India, and they became the basis for Keith's best-selling book anyway, The Paradoxical Commandments, number one. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. Number two, if you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. Three, if you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. Number four, the good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Number five, honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. be honest and frank anyway. 6. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. 7. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. Don't I know that? 8. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. 9. People who really need help but may attack you, if you do help them anyway. 10. Give the world the best you have, and you might get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Those come from Kent Keith. Doesn't it say in Psalm that we are to trust God and do good? If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. I'm glancing over at the control board. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm just calling. I just am curious if you can help. I have developed light brown bands across my fingernails probably for the last 8 months to a year. It's only been on 2 fingers.
Are they running lengthways with the fingers or across?
Across. Kind of patchy.
Is there any chance that you've had like the flu or a bad cold in the previous 2 months?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, I can't blame that then. But they don't look like splinters, do they?
No. They're not real dark. They're real, real light, just kind of discolored. And it's on my ring finger and my pinky finger.
Okay. Do you have any health conditions that you know of, like a family history of cardiovascular problems or kidney issues? Because
no,
as a
sir.
General rule, the ring finger in acupuncture, that almost always points toward the kidneys. And the pinky finger is what I think of when it comes to the heart. And so if you have those light brown, obviously you're not a hairdresser where you're working with hair dyes, things like that.
Correct.
Okay, well, it's got to be something to do with the blood. I just don't know what it is. I mean, are you perfectly, do you feel like $1 million and you can do whatever you want, you have plenty of energy and you're sleeping well and you're pleased with your body and your weight and what you're able to accomplish and your mind is clear? Is
yes,
all that
sir.
Good?
Yes, sir. I try to exercise. I drink a lot of water and, yeah.
Well, you're not taking one drug of any kind, even over the counter, right?
No, sir. I think I might have popped an aspirin maybe a couple weeks ago, but it was
aha,
like...
that's it. No, I'm joking. No, I wish I could blame that. If you told me that you'd been taking Tylenol or ibuprofen very frequently, I might be prone to blaming that, because that's hard on the kidneys. Do you know what phosphorus or phosphate is?
Yes, sir.
For example, if you went to the store and you said, you know what, I haven't had like a soft drink in, 2 moons, I think I'm going to have one. It contains a very high amount of what's called phosphoric acid. And phosphoric acid, it just is really hard on the blood as far as maintaining the pH of your blood. It's just real harsh on it, very, very acidic stuff. It's very hard on the kidneys at the same time. So when somebody has a blood test done and phosphorus levels are at the higher end of normal, and these are just normal labs that every doctor would run when you go in for like a physical or a blood test. But when phosphorus levels go up, usually a person, they start losing energy and their kidneys start becoming burdened. They just don't work as well. The antidote to that is taking baking soda. And so I may not have like a great plan for you, but if you would consider taking maybe a half of a teaspoon or maybe a quarter teaspoon of just plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda, how much does a half a teaspoon cost? A tenth of a penny? Probably not even that. Let's just say half a penny to round it off. So
exactly.
If you did that every single morning when you get up, Tell me if this these brown light those light brown bands across your nails start to go away. The other thing that I think of is I'm a fan of when there's a situation with the blood or the kidneys. It's not bad to have a juicer handy, where you could run maybe two carrots and several ribs of celery and a handful of parsley and maybe half an apple through that. The gentleman that I talked to yesterday on the phone, lemon juice might be one of the greatest solvents of all time. And when I use the word solvent, you think about putting a load of dirty blue jeans and work clothes in your laundry machine, and between the water and the soap, that's a solvent. It helps dissolve the dirt and the debris. So if you haven't been sick with the flu or a cold and you're not taking a drug, I would still say that these brown, light brown lines across your nails are a harbinger there's something going on within your blood, but you don't feel bad, which is good. I don't want you to. I'd rather take care of this under these circumstances than right. from intensive care in an oxygen tent while you're in a coma.
Right. Okay. I drink lemon water every morning.
Oh, you're good.
But sometimes it feels like it gets, sometimes it looks like it's lightening up and it's going away. And then in like 1 week after I take my nail polish off, it looks like it got a little darker. And then it lightens up, and so it varies.
Do you normally keep polish on or off?
On.
You are one evil woman. I'm joking. There are some shades of polish that can stain the nails. I know that. I can't even tell you how many women I've seen where I'm going, what is the deal with your nails? And they're going, oh, I tried two or three new ones. They just didn't work out. Now the stains won't come out. So I wonder if that could be it.
Maybe, but I don't think so. I've been having this for a while.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Well, and the question is, don't you have polish on your other nails also, and they are not stained? Okay.
That's correct.
Is your mother and father still living?
Yes.
How old are they?
My mother is 67, and my father is 70.
Let me see. Let me do the math on that. That makes you 21. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Great. I knew I could guess it from your voice. Do they have any issues at all that you know of?
Well, you've helped my mother. She's she had cancer, and so she's come to you for that. She had AFib, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And you helped fix her. She
Good.
Had some deficiencies. So you probably know who she is. She's a German lady that comes to see you.
Is she a nurse?
Yes.
Does she know that I'm crazy about her?
She's crazy about you too.
Well, what I would say is, still go ahead and do these things.
Okay.
The two can I call these superfoods?
Sure.
If I call kelp and alfalfa superfoods, obviously I'm just talking about a food substance that has a great quality about it. It's very beneficial if we consume it. And, of course, I don't even know how long people have been consuming kelp, but it's been a long time. But it's not rocket science. When kelp is consumed, people are healthier. Now,
right.
I'm not calling you or your mother a cow, but, you know, because animals, they eat the alfalfa hay. But sometimes I can look out the front window of my office during the summertime, and I can see these trucks going by with these huge square, rectangular bales of alfalfa hay. It's the greenest stuff in the universe.
Right.
And I've read before that alfalfa has one of the longest root systems of all time. So you just kind of use your imagination and think, oh my goodness, this alfalfa is like drawing the deepest, richest minerals and nutrients from the soil because of that deep root system. Kind of like the yard weed called dandelion.
Right.
It has a tap root that goes all the way down to China. Okay, I exaggerate just slightly there. Yes, it's able to survive the hot molten magma core of the earth. It goes right through.
Right.
But those things, the longer the root, the more nutrients. And so anything to do with the fingernails turning colors, I always think about alfalfa and kelp.
Okay.
So you might look into just supplementing, but What you want is you want your body to rise to the occasion and clear that.
Right.
I had a woman call, and she said, what do I do about horrible nail fungus on my fingernails? And, of course, I didn't get a chance to see him.
Right.
But one thing that I always think of when it comes to the nails is your body needs oxygen. And so if you take – I'm looking at my nails right now. There may be some dirt under one. So I have no idea where that came from. But I'm thinking it's probably your mother's fault. You know how those German women are, right?
I do.
She probably would say, Dr. Morgan, would you dig up these beets in my backyard for me? And I'd say, sure, whatever. But when you look at your nails, right there at the cuticle, at the base of the nail, there's a white structure called a luna, or the moon of the nail. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yes, sir.
And usually when you can see the nail beds, they're just a rich pinkish, you know, red color. That means there's good blood flow and good oxygenation. And when you have moons on four of your fingers, that's usually good. Usually, from what I've studied, it's not normal to have a luna or a nail on your pinky finger. And so when you have these lunas on four of your nails, or the white, you know, band,
right,
at the cuticle, the moon, that means there's rich oxygenation. And so if those are real faint or very small, I would say, well, more oxygen is what we need. I personally think the greatest agent of all time or element in the universe to help the human being is oxygen.
Right.
So could you imagine, and I'm sort of making a joke about this, but if you went through a drive-thru and you said, you know what, I heard Dr. Morgan talk about apples the other day, so I'm going to have four apple pies from the drive-thru. But, you know, they kind of fry them in vegetable oil, which is garbage, and they're probably loaded with extra sugar, and there's no telling how many chemicals are in it.
Right.
One of the chemicals they add is phosphate, just to maintain the integrity and the texture of it so it's crunchy and crisp. But phosphate just destroys a person's kidneys. But you realize there's no oxygen left in it once they've deep fried it. There's nothing left.
Right.
But if you ate a whole apple, I thought the other day a woman was telling me we were negotiating. It's a very loose negotiation tactics in my office, I promise you. But I said, okay, what about would you eat this instead? And we narrowed it down to that she would do this if she could have half of an apple with some organic peanut butter on it. I said, deal, I'll take it. But at least the apple is full of oxygen. That's one of the reasons why sometimes when people juice, they start feeling better. Because when you take a living food and run it through the juicer, all that oxygen from the plants inside of it.
Right.
So do you have good, rich, beautiful moons on your fingernails?
I have them on my thumb.
But not your index, middle, or ring finger?
That would be correct.
Well, and I'm not judging you, but what you're doing is you're being very helpful to me. So I would say at the very least, you need more oxygen.
Okay.
And so there's a simple test for this. If you were to go on YouTube and type in Wim, W-I-M, Hof, H-O-H-O-F, breathing test, there would be a tutorial video somewhere on there that you could find. It's just a matter of where you're breathing very deeply and very quickly. And most likely in your case, you're going to become very, very lightheaded very, very quickly and almost pass out. That means you should not do this while you're driving to church tomorrow morning.
Right.
That would not be a good call. But if you start to feel dizzy in the head, that's all oxygen that's going to your head. It's a very unusual feeling. It's almost a little bit backwards from what we think. But I would say increasing oxygenation of the tissues of your body would just be worth anything. So you can take are you half German?
That would be correct.
I think I'm actually part German also. But you know, German people, they are the hardest workers. Czechs are too.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I would say if you lack the moons on your nail beds and there's a darker color on your pinky and your ring finger, my thoughts go to heart and blood and kidneys when I see them on them. And so we're getting ahead of the curve. There's not a problem. You're beautiful, you're radiant, you're very funny, and you're super, super smart. Your mother has talked often about your personality, and she said, Dr. Morgan, if you will only discuss the topic on the radio, my daughter will do it, because I will make her do it. And so I'm here to do my job. So you just need more oxygen. But then again, kelp and alfalfa, they provide you the rich mineral base that's going to help build your hemoglobin.
Okay.
And that's going to be the oxygen transportation vehicle of the body.
Okay.
You know what drives me crazy sometimes? They know for a fact that a hyperbaric oxygen chamber can drastically improve wounds on a diabetic, like if they have an ulcer on their leg or a wound that will not heal.
Right.
But it's nuts. They wait until the very last moment before they ever, you know,
right,
suggest the use of it. That's like the other day, I was going over some research with a patient, and it was about a type of hospital infection called Clostridium difficile, or C. diff. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, sir.
Well, it is a wicked, diarrheal-causing bacterial infection from hell. It's bad.
Wow.
And I don't remember the research exactly, but it's some ridiculous number, like it could take as many as 25 rounds of antibiotics just to help knock it down. Well, if you look at the long-term studies, every study is showing now that the more antibiotics that a person has over the course of their lifetime, the greater the risk of lifetime cancer. So I'm thinking to myself, do they ever tell people this before they give the 15th round of an antibiotic? I talked to a woman the other day. She's already had four rounds in four months, and she feels horrible. I'm thinking, there's got to be a better way. But anyway, the point that I'm getting to is, there's been several studies that show there's a 95% cure rate for this diarrheal infection in 24 hours. It's called fecal transfer. So you just have a family member that's healthy, they take a fecal specimen and they implant it into the person with the C. diff infection or the diarrhea. 95% cure rate in 24 hours. But they don't do that immediately. No. They wait till the hospital bills close to $1 million first, probably.
Right.
I just think that's nuts.
Yes.
Don't tell your mom I said that, because I know she works.
Oh, no. She's on board with that. She completely agrees.
Well, and so all I'm saying is, if your body's telling us that it needs more oxygen, why don't we do things like that? So have you ever heard of a mineral called magnesium?
Yes.
Magnesium has been shown to increase oxygen saturation of the blood. So I can kind of learn from that. It's not just all about iron.
Right.
But when you eat real foods like a whole apple instead of the fried apple pie, I think you got oxygen right there.
Right.
And when the sun comes out later today, you can go out there and you can sunbathe. And you can walk around in the grass in your feet. Bare feet.
I try to do that whenever I can.
You're really not going to refuse any ideas I have, are you?
No, sir. I've written them all down.
Okay, one last one. You're going to go to your mom's house, and you're going to wash and wax your car and detail it by hand and vacuum it and just do all that stuff. Just to say, I love you, Mom. Don't you think that's a good plan?
I will, or I'm going to just do a shout-out on your show, I love you, Mom.
Well, she probably heard that, didn't she?
Probably so.
You know what she's doing right now? She's probably just now waking up and going, that voice sounds a little familiar.
Probably so.
Well, I think if you move in the good direction, if you can increase oxygen. So I think there's a great case for doing deep breathing exercises.
Okay.
I think there's also a case for deep restorative sleep. I just think to myself, if we could just get more oxygen and sleep better, you could probably cure 95% of all health problems.
Right. Okay, great.
Well, I appreciate your phone call a whole bunch.
Well, thank you. You have a blessed day.
Oh, you're so sweet. You too. Thank you so much, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
There is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Probably a few years ago, I was reading an article, and they were doing a survey of all the different techniques and procedures for people that were admitted to the hospital. We'll go to the phone lines first, and I'll come back to this story. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I wanted to ask your opinion on some information from the book that I read, Eat Right for Your Type, meaning your blood type.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, okay, so I wanted your opinion. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. Is it Dr. Peter J. D'Amato?
Exactly. And for the most part, I try to follow the food for my blood type, and I was just wondering, all this time that I've been doing it, well, have I been avoiding foods, like you mentioned avocado on one of the calls before, and that's one of the foods that I need to avoid.
How did you find out what your blood type is?
Oh, years ago, well, quite a few years ago, I gave blood just because they needed blood. My blood type.
Yes. Oh, how nice of you. You probably saved somebody's life.
Well, I was doing that for a while. I would do that every so often. And then the last two times that I did it, which is a few years ago, the last two times it made me very sick. I thought I was going to, well, I actually did on the last time I went. In the parking lot, when I got in my car, I threw up. And I said to myself, my body's telling me something.
Yes, so, my body's telling me something.
So I quit donating. I quit doing that.
Well, what was your blood type?
O.
Oh, okay.
Well, then I'm on the right track. I should continue.
Well, let me make just a couple comments.
Okay.
I think that I just believe it's okay to question things and to be... you know, just very curious to see if this is true or that's true. I think that there's tremendous benefit to doing that, and if what that diet does is encourage you to eat in such a way where you're eating real foods that God hath made, then you're definitely on the right track. But if you eat a certain way and you go, you know what, I am not better off, which I'm sort of joking as I say this, but if you say, it recommends for blood type O to drink beer every day, mm-hmm. if you did that, you might go, what is the deal? I have gained so much weight since... Well, obviously, you don't want to do that, right?
Right.
But you're trying to find that happy balance on what's going to work very well for you. Mm-hmm. But do you think you're better off from doing it?
Yes, I am. And then every now and then I'll develop something. No, I'm pretty much a healthy person.
I believe you.
I exercise regularly. I'm very active.
I can hear it in your voice.
Well, and I do know that if I eat something that's not really good for me, then my body reacts. And so
your body's telling you, right?
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
Oh man, you're a fast learner.
Well, I've been on this path for a long time, but I keep eating different things, and I just get conflicted.
You know what? I can tell by talking to you that you're highly qualified. You could probably work as a school teacher full time if you wanted to, right?
Probably at this point in time I could, but not,
Wouldn't that be your idea of fun, 24 kids in the classroom running around?
Not today's kids.
Ma'am, I don't know where that comment came from. We just need to get you in the classroom starting tomorrow.
I'm in agreement with you 100%.
No, I'm really tickled with your phone call. Keep up the good work.
Okay, I will, and thank you for your opinion.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Back to the hospital story. In this observational study, they looked at all comers to the hospital. It didn't matter if it was for a surgical procedure like a knee replacement, a hip replacement, a shoulder surgery, low back surgery, gallbladder. Or if you had like an infection, which that's a pretty big deal in the hospitals. So for whatever reason a person was there, they said, let's just take a step back and let's look at all the factors. You know what the number one factor that predicted who was going to have the very best outcome? It was those that slept the most in the hospital. That should prove how important sleep is. Good morning. Thank you for your phone call.
This is Linda, and I was calling. I'm a cancer patient, and I'm losing weight. What is the good thing for me to eat?
Do you know what type of cancer it is exactly?
It's thyroid.
Okay. Yeah, can I make a comment first? Do you mind, Linda?
No, I don't.
They say that currently the most overdiagnosed cancer of all time is thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But let me back it up. They're saying that you can have a differentiation of the cells that can look like they're cancer, but there's actually not. But has your thyroid actually been removed?
Yes.
So they have you on hormone replacement therapy. Is it something like levothyroxine or Synthroid?
Synthroid.
Do you know what the dose is?
200. I mean, 176, that's what it is.
Oh,
176.
Okay. Now, I'm sitting down right now, but I'm just a little bit shocked at that number. I'm not pretending that I'm an endocrinologist, but that seems like that's awfully high. Now, before I really comment on that, let me go over to a different story. I'm not going to use the person's name, but there was an old-time medical doctor here in East Texas that women would drive from all over to go see him for just one reason, and that reason was weight loss, which in a roundabout way, that kind of ties into what you're asking me, what can you do to keep from losing weight? But the only thing that he would prescribe was thyroid. But what he would do is he would give a little bit too much of it. And so thyroid is a hormone that literally impacts every cell in your body. And so your ability to convert fuel, you know, or food into energy to a large degree is based on how well the thyroid's doing. And so, but if you give too much thyroid, you can start having excessive bone loss and losing weight and everything. And 176 seems like an awfully high number to me. Now, I could, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize to you and say, ma'am, I was completely out of place. But 176 is like a big, big, big dose. I can't even remember the last time I've heard a dose that high. Do you have any diarrhea at all?
Yes.
Well, you're taking too much thyroid. Now, I know I'm not trying to get myself in a spot right here, but I can't tell you how many women I've seen that had chronic diarrhea, and it was just because they were being overdosed on the thyroid. Now, this is not going to kill you, but what I'm thinking of is I want you to age gracefully and to have your bones when you're like 75. How old are you now?
66.
See there? I'm thinking 9 years in the future for you. So, if you've been having a touch of diarrhea since you were on this dose, I mean, just connect the dots, I think 176 is a little bit too much, but you're going to lose weight, and there's no way to stop the weight loss if you overdo the thyroid. So I'm not trying to be difficult. I'll be glad to answer whatever questions you want, but you're saying, what do I do to try to gain some weight? Well, do you like to eat meat and vegetables and fruit?
Yes.
Do you like oatmeal?
Love it.
Do you like rice?
Love it.
I would say all those are perfect. I would add butter, because butter can, and when I say butter, I'm not talking about country crock, or actually I think that whole thing is a crock, but we won't talk about that. But if you use real butter made from like the whole fat or the cream of a cow. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and think I should go out and milk the cow right now under the moon?
No.
Neither do I. But if you put real butter on that food, that's going to help your nutrient absorption. And that's the purpose of the butter, because it contains butyrate. And usually people, when they get butyrate, they have more normal bodies. I know that's kind of a loaded statement, but I really think if you've got some loose bowels and you're losing weight, they're giving you way too much thyroid. Now, I'm just going to try to ask a straightforward question. What do you think the solution is if a doctor's got you on too much thyroid?
Tell them.
That's right. And then request, could we maybe lower it a bit to see if the weight loss stops? And if I'm not mistaken, when I've done research in the past, research meaning just, you know, reading articles and studying, the effect of too much levothyroxine or Synthroid is great bone loss. And if they give you too much, that's what you're heading for. Is you're heading for osteoporosis, where you start to lose some of your height, and you start to look like you're a little bit bent over, and you become a little bit more frail and weak. I mean, you're just like I am. Haven't you seen little old ladies at the store before shopping for groceries, and they were as thin as a rail, and they looked like maybe they were pushing 87 pounds?
Yes.
And which, so if we can use wisdom. I guess there's multiple interpretations of the word wisdom, but I'm just saying, if we can try to size up your situation and try to find a very good outcome for you instead of waiting until it's too late, because I would really be remiss if 3 years from now you had lost 40 more pounds and you felt very physically weak And you were telling your doctor, I just, my bones hurt all the time, doctor. I'm losing weight. I'm shrinking. Well, you don't want to wait till that point where they say, oh, we put you on too much thyroid. We'll change that right now. And you're going, why didn't you tell me this like 5 years ago?
Right.
So I would look at those things right there, but 176 seems like an awfully high number to me. I'm not trying to interfere with what your doctor's prescriptions are, but I would say this needs to be looked into if you've got both diarrhea and you're losing weight. It's just your body's just eating itself too fast is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That probably doesn't sound very good to call your body a cannibal, does it?
Well, you know, I do whatever.
Well, if this is what's causing the weight loss, now I'm not trying to be a jokester by saying this, but I've seen people that don't sleep for 2 days and they're real thin. I think to myself, are you taking a drug? And they say, is crystal meth a problem? I'm going, yes. And that's you could lose weight that way also. It speeds up your metabolism. Maybe that's why they call it speed.
Maybe so.
So the thyroid medication, I think there's a pretty good chance that you're just being overdosed or too much of it. They just might not need to have to. They might want to back off just a little bit because you don't want to have bone loss, and you don't want to waste away into nothingness.
Right.
Try that and see what happens. Tell your doctor to take another look at it. You know, there's a whole bunch of different tests you can do for the thyroid, but the one they usually rely on is called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. But that doesn't tell you the whole picture. They should just look at all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure will do it.
Okay, good deal. Thank you so much for your phone call, and I'm really rooting for you, ma'am.
Okay, I'm thanking you for telling me this.
Oh, you're welcome, Linda. You have a good day, and God bless you, ma'am.
And same to you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there's a phone line once again open. 903, excuse me, 903-586-5257 or 586-5257. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thank you very much for your phone call. How are you today?
Fine, and how are you, Dr. Morgan?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for calling.
Doing good. I went to talk to you about a week before last. You were talking about, the lady asked you about flakes on her arm and the crusted toenail.
Mm-hmm.
What is good for that?
Is it crusty skin around the heels of the feet?
Well, I would say so, yes, sir.
Well, usually what I'm looking at is I'm looking at the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you the short and sweet answer to it, and you tell me if it makes sense. Anytime the toenails become thicker than what normal would be, you know how, like, when a newborn baby comes in the world, their skin is just perfect, their toenails are beautiful, they're pink, they're gorgeous, but they're the normal thickness and size and shape. When toenails begin to thicken, but you can still see through them, and they're kind of a yellowish color, that's almost always what I'm going to call poor lymphatic circulation. And lymphatic circulation, if you have 8 pints of blood that make up your body, you have 24 pints of lymph fluid. That's like the laundry detergent of the body. It washes every cell clean and carries debris off. So if your toenails are becoming yellow, that can easily be poor lymphatic circulation. Now, if the toenails become thicker and they look like a crusted ram's horn, that's almost always a toenail fungus. But the solution to both of them is to increase blood flow and oxygen. And so, as crazy as this may sound, if you live out in the country or you have like a nice yard in the city where there's grass and you don't have to worry about grass burrs or stickers or rocks or pieces of glass or stuff like that, if you can just walk barefooted for 15 minutes a day, that radically increases blood flow. And I think one of the things that I always think of is that study I read years ago that showed when people walk barefoot in the grass or on the dirt, not on sharp rocks, obviously, what you have is you have twice as many blood vessels in your feet and twice as many nerves. I'm telling you, that's a huge deal. If I had a nickel for every time somebody walked in my office and said, my doctor told me never to walk barefoot because I have diabetes, and I thought to myself, well, how are we going to increase the blood flow? You could, if you wanted to, just walk barefoot on the pine needles. And I bet you if you give it enough time, all those toenails will return to normal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The other thing that you can do that's very simple to see if it helps is you could take Vicks Vapor Rub and rub on your toenails every night before you go to bed and see if they begin to reduce that way. That is a possibility. But I really believe with all my heart the number one way that you fix fungal problems of the toenails is by greatly increasing oxygen and blood flow. The more oxygen you can get to your toes, the quicker everything is going to be healed and returns to your perfect state of health. And that would be toenails free of, fungus and thickness.
All right, then. I sure do. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Thanks for listening to the program. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
All righty. The phone line is once again open, 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. You may have to hold your mouth just a little closer.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. I'm not too well right now.
Oh, no. Well, what can I do to help you out?
Tell me what to do for nausea. I have it throughout the day, and it doesn't feel very good.
You could always try a drop of clove oil in a glass of water.
Clove oil?
Mm-hmm. Just a drop. Just a drop.
One drop. How often?
Now let me do my crazy talk here.
Okay.
I don't know what the cause of nausea is, but I know where it's coming from. I've only got two sources. There is a nerve that exits two small holes in the skull. It's called the 10th cranial nerve. It's known as the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve has the highest amount of parasympathetic nerve innervation of your gallbladder, or gallbladder and bile ducts, biliary tree, all that stuff. Liver and gallbladder is what I'm saying. And so either the vagus nerve is not working right, or there's something going on with the liver and the gallbladder, because that's where nausea comes from, 99% of the time. It can be other things. I mean, do you have an infection right now of any kind? So you would just have to do this based on faith. I can't really prove it to you right now, but in a few days you might tell me you're a whole lot better. What you may try doing is every morning when you wake up, make yourself a cup of dandelion tea. And dandelion tea is easy to come by. Do you live in the Tyler area?
Yes.
Do you like to go to garage sales and buy exotic jewelry very cheaply?
No.
That's a wrong answer. That's okay. If you will go buy some dandelion tea, pour or add 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, and then add 1 drop of clove oil. 1 drop. I am not trying to burn a hole in you. And tell me if that takes all the nauseousness away after about 3 days. Do you have any trouble with constipation? I can't hear you. Your mouth
no,
is too far.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
So you're having good, well-formed bowel movements.
Yes.
Are they brown in color?
Brown. Sometimes real light brown.
Well, if they're kind of light, that usually means there's some congestion in the liver. So if they turn a little bit darker brown, that's a good sign that you're healing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of anything that may have caused this? Did you eat some bad food?
I know. I've been going through this now for about 2 weeks.
Have you been sick at all?
Well, yes. Uh-huh.
Is there any chance that you've taken some Tylenol? Because Tylenol may be the hardest drug of all time on the liver.
Oh, Dr. Morgan, I've been off of that for a few years.
I believe you. Have you taken any drugs at all? Like an antibiotic?
Just meds for high blood pressure and diabetes.
Okay. Well, I would still look to the liver, and I would say we can... The other thing that I might think of doing... Did you hear the woman earlier say that she puts squeezes lemon juice in her water and drinks lemon water throughout the day?
I do that.
Good. Don't stop that.
Okay.
But I would say 1 drop of clove oil into a cup of dandelion tea with a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil.
Will do.
and just try that for several days in a row and see if this nauseousness starts to go away. But when you do that, you may need to stay relatively close to your bathroom, which means don't run off to the mall and go walking right after you do that, okay?
Got you.
Good. Well, I wish you the best. I love you. I hope you get better real quick.
All right, and I'll be making an appointment with you soon.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The phone line here at the station is 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan. Tickled to help you. The idea behind consuming olive oil is to try to help the liver and the bile ducts contract and push out the garbage a little bit better. It's either that or we have to move to Italy for some real Italian food. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. That's an idea.
Well, do you have your visa ready to go and your passport?
I do not. I need to get one, desperately.
Well, neither do I. I was thinking that we could go to Galveston later and take a cruise over to Italy to try their olive oil.
That sounds like a plan. My husband would love that. He loves Italian food. Actually, worked in an Italian restaurant for years. So
he did, or you did?
He did.
Really?
Yeah. He was making me pizza and lasagna before we were even married. So.
Oh, I get it. Lasagna is your love language, right?
It is.
So he could get you to do anything he wants if he just serves you lasagna with a smile, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Well, how can I help you?
Well, actually, two things. I was listening to your conversation earlier, several callers back, and you were talking about the fecal transfer.
Yes.
For patients with C. diff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My husband was actually a patient at the Mayo Clinic during the time when they were actually, the very first day that they did that transplant, we were there in Rochester.
Wow.
And so my husband, long story, but he had a kidney transplant years ago and had to go through experimental treatments to get another one anyway. But we were actually there and had an appointment with the transplant team about his kidney transplant, and they came in the room. They were all excited about this new transplant that had happened, and they were telling us all about it. So I was there the day that first happened. So
wow, that's pretty
cool. Interesting.
Is this New York or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rochester, Minnesota. Best hospital in the whole world.
Well, they're supposedly the most accurate.
Yeah, they are. So the reason I'm calling today, I was listening to the lady talk about her thyroid, and I've been having issues with my thyroid for some time now, and actually just found out two or three weeks ago, that I have Hashimoto's.
Hashimoto's. I can tell you how to fix that.
Well, tell me.
Don't eat any pizza or lasagna the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. I can't not do that.
I know, but I tried to lead with the worst thing possible, because I knew if I just sugarcoat it, you would not respect me.
Yes.
Wheat has an 87% high correlation to triggering an autoimmune reaction where your body starts attacking your thyroid every time you eat wheat. I know. Don't be mad at me. I know.
I've actually done a lot of reading, and because I really didn't get any assistance or information at all from my endocrinologist.
Is the top doctor for the thyroid in the universe.
Yeah, well...
Unfortunately, I am completely out of time, but let me say this, because I have like about 10 seconds left. I don't know how many cases of Hashimoto that have walked in my door, or Hashimoto's. Do you have a Japanese accent?
No, I do not.
Could you do your best to say Hashimoto's in Japanese?
Probably not. Hashimoto, I don't know.
Oh, that was pretty good. Sound like you're from East Texas.
Most definitely.
Your body needs a certain amount of vitamin D3. You're going to need cod liver oil. I use a product called Thiotrophin PMG. It works like a champ when it comes to Hashimoto's. You're trying to turn that autoimmune. Let's not attack the thyroid, buddy, any longer with that. But wheat, and I know I'm out of time, but if you avoid wheat like the plague,
okay,
this could completely go into remission and you could not have it anymore.
What about rice?
Rice is not wheat, so you should be good.
Okay.
And if you'll call me next week, we'll pick it up where we left off, okay?
That sounds like a plan.
Thank you very,
very
much.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.